Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and co-parents of all ages, this podcast is for you. Introducing in the center ring, the amicable divorce expert, Judith Weigel.
Today is our celebrity divorce series. The divorce we're going to be speaking about is Bruce and Kris Jenner to Caitlyn Jenner and Kris Kardashian. And the topic points within this celebrity marriage are marrying under a year from a previous divorce, blended families, gender transformation, which in the last, 10 years or so is becoming a bigger and bigger issue and reason for a divorce. And that's why I wanted to talk about this as part of this particular celebrity divorce today. And then lastly, reality television and divorce, because there are lots of divorces that come out of reality television marriages. So just a little timeline. In 2013, Bruce and Kris Jenner announced their divorce after 23 years of marriage. They had two biological daughters, Kylie and Kendall. They married in 1991, 1 month after Kris's divorce from Robert Kardashian. Most people know Robert Kardashian as part of the legal team for O.J. Simpson regarding the marriage of Nicole Brown Simpson. Now, part of the issue in this divorce was, according to Kris, that it was very difficult for her to stay married to Robert Kardashian once he committed himself to the O.J. Simpson legal team. You know, the reasons for the divorce, I'm not going to get into in this broadcast, but that's how people know Robert Kardashian. Of course, the four children that Kris and Robert had were Courtney, Kim, Khloe, and Robert Jr. We did see Robert Jr. on Keeping Up with the Kardashians a little bit, and then after a while he had to leave. He wasn't dealing well with having his life exposed on reality television. And we're going to get to how exposing our lives on reality television, especially our marriages, is not so healthy, especially if the marriage isn't healthy going into the show. But Bruce Jenner was an Olympic champion with an amazing work ethic, but not a clearly defined job or professional role after all of the hoopla around his work as an Olympic champion, the endorsements, speaking engagements, all of that ended. I mean, he had money, obviously, but his career had stopped for a while. We'll put it that way. Kris was blossoming as a single mom after her divorce from attorney Robert Kardashian, and she was just starting to use her amazing business skills, and she was using them on Bruce Jenner. So Bruce needed a career. Kris was forming a company. And so romance and finance combined when Kris started promoting Bruce as a motivational speaker. And how brilliant was she at doing this? Ultimately, she gave him a purpose. He's perfect as a motivational speaker. What it takes to be an Olympic champion is beyond. And so Bruce was great as a speaker and launched Kris as a business person, a manager, and in walked Keeping Up with the Kardashians, in walked Kim and the sex tape, and there was the launching point for Kris as a mother manager. In an interview from Online Magazine recently from the DNA web team, now Caitlyn Jenner recently on Rob Lowe's podcast literally was quoted in the DNA web team article as saying, I know it gets convoluted, right? Quote, after 23 years, Kris and I went our separate directions. My identity, it was not a big part of us separating. There were so many other bigger issues out there. Okay, that's an interesting idea. The gender transformation was not the biggest issue. What Now, Caitlin is saying there were other issues present in a normal marriage, so to speak, that were the determining factors. Now, parallel to that, last year, 2021, in an interview with Andy Cohen on the E! Entertainment reunion of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians show, Kris, now Kardashian, not Jenner, said that even if Caitlyn hadn't transitioned, they more than likely would have at some point divorced. So she's actually corroborating that there were issues other than the transition, which is interesting, and I will believe them since they're both saying the same thing, because on next week's featured episode, we're going to have a real life couple, Leslie and Deborah Fabian, who did stay together after Deborah's transition from being David Fabian. So I want you to look for this episode next week. It's fascinating. This is a couple who actually survived marriage after a gender transformation came. The article continues with, the Caitlin article continues like this. However, Caitlin admitted that her frustration with herself caused her to be a little shorter with Kris at the end of their marriage, and we can actually see that on those episodes in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, that there was an annoyance. There was an ongoing, communication frustration, communication uncomfortableness that we saw on television in Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And by the way, I did watch most of those episodes. I found it fascinating that Kris's work as a manager was so successful with her family. And I found it interesting that Caitlin's transformation was happening in front of us. And the article continues even more with Caitlin by this. Talking further about her relationship with Kris post-split, Caitlin said, "Then all of a sudden, we didn't have any issues. It was calm." Okay, well, those communication failures aside, what Caitlin is saying is, once Caitlin admitted that she was transforming to a woman, and that came out, and that reality was spoken, that authenticity was embraced, that vulnerability was expressed. Once that came from Bruce, now Caitlin, everything else kind of was calm. Well, I have issue with that. I think that's maybe a little bit of soft soaping, trying to make things end up in a pretty bow, because in 2015, Bruce came out as trans and changed his name to Caitlin, and then Caitlin's tell-all book, The Secrets of My Life, was published and characterized Kris in a very pejorative light. And it wasn't that calm. It was actually very messy. Then the kids had to weigh in on how they felt. And then Caitlin had her own show, which I'm actually happy that she had, because she had guests on her show that had transitioned who could then tell their story of transitioning. And there was one guest who stayed married. Out of all the trans guests on Caitlin's show who had different stories to tell and shared some of the same issues but didn't share all of them, there was one very well-known couple who stayed married, just like the lady I'm going to be talking to next week, Leslie Fabian, stayed married. And these are very sensitive, difficult situations to consider. And one might say, how is this even possible? But my answer to that is, staying together is possible if the root foundation for the marriage is genuine and goes beyond sexuality. And I know being sexually intimate is certainly a huge part of being married. It's not the only part. And if you look at a typical heterosexual marriage, it breaks down. Even if people have sex, it breaks down. So having sex, not having sex, it's important, but is it the only thing? Is it the only way a marriage stays together? So stay tuned next week and you're going to hear the answer. I want to now go through the issues, because every celebrity divorce, the reason why I bring the celebrity divorces up is to actually give you an interesting window to look out. We've all heard about these people on media, but they go through the same things we go through. That is the reason why I take a week out of every month to just kind of glam up the topic of divorce a little bit. Strange to say that, right? But it's interesting for us. We're all voyeurs to a certain extent to look at other people's relationships. And so we look at celebrity relationships. And yes, they have more money than us. Yes, they have more Instagram followers than us. But they have the same things to deal with in real life that we do. And so I just use this as an example for what we have to deal with in our divorces, non-celebrity divorces. So let's go through the 4 points. First point, marrying a month after getting divorced. And in Chris and Bruce's case, marrying five and a half months after meeting, making it 1 month after Chris's divorce from Robert Kardashian. Bruce was already divorced from his two marriages, but Chris was recently divorced. So what all of the experts on this show have said and the authors have written about is not such a smart thing to do to get married shortly after getting divorced. You need to process the reason for the divorce. You need to get in touch with who you are, the changes that have happened to you, the enlightenments that you have experienced because of getting divorced. We have to process this. And depending on whether you went through the emotional divorce first before filing, maybe that will allow for a shorter recovery time and a remarriage in less time than not. The reason why it's important to take some time, evaluate the marriage, evaluate the reasons why you get into the marriage, evaluate what happened during the marriage, and evaluate how the divorce transpired. These are all really important issues to consider before you get married again. We really do have to do a cleansing, so to speak, on ourselves before we get into another relationship, so that we're very clear why we're getting into another relationship. It's interesting, though, in Chris and Bruce's marriage, because they were married for 23 years. So, yes, it almost makes what I'm saying wrong, that you should evaluate. But Bruce did have time to evaluate before he married Chris. It was some years before he remarried. But Chris seems to be, as Bruce does, a very relationship-oriented person. She's certainly into family. I mean, 4 children. Bruce had 4 children. Between his 2 previous marriages, Bruce had 2 children each marriage, so he had 4. Chris had 4 from her 1 marriage. And they made it work for 23 years. It doesn't sound like it was great for 23 years, though. It doesn't sound like it was all wonderful for 23 years. It sounded like at a certain point, and maybe it was at the beginning of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which was in 2007, we could kind of see Chris being condescending to Bruce. And maybe at that point, the marriage should have been reassessed. But nonetheless, we saw this unfold in front of us. So yes, you can stay married a while. Chris showed us that. But the marriage wasn't fabulous. So they got married in when did they get married? In 23 years. 99, 98, sorry about that. But the marriage wasn't great, and it didn't look respectful when Keeping Up with the Kardashians started. And so encouraging people to take time before they remarry, if that's possible, is a great step. Unless, again, you have gone through the emotional divorce first before you enter the legal divorce. When you go through the emotional divorce before you enter the legal divorce, you really do go through an evaluation period. And it sets you up to possibly have a relationship sooner rather than later once the divorce is final. Second topic. Blended families. Well, they really did blended families well, at least on the Kardashian side. So it looks like the four Kardashian kids, accepted Bruce. And it really does look genuine, what we saw on the show, as being a great blended family with the Kardashians accepting Bruce. We did see Bruce fold in his four children from the two other marriages. And we saw efforts underway to blend Bruce's four children with Chris's four children. And that part looked great. I don't know that Bruce's children accepted Chris readily. It didn't look like it was comfortable for Chris and Bruce's children, at least the footage we saw on the air. It looked like Chris's children had an easier time accepting Bruce than Bruce's children had accepting Chris, and I don't know why. But here's what I do know. Blended families are tough, and it's important that they're blended well. It is important, as we had Judy Graybill, a step-parent coach, on our show twice already, and she's coming back again. Judy is such an authority on blended families. And what she says is, first of all, the parents have to sit down and be a unified front for all the children. If all the parents can talk, that would be great. And it really depends on the ages of the kids. If you're talking about older kids, okay, maybe not. But if you're talking about younger kids, and Kylie and Kendall were young when the show started. These were adolescents. So communication between all the parents is primary when you have children on both sides of a new relationship. Talking about parenting styles. So very important, because everybody has a slightly different parenting style. And you have to blend those styles in order to blend the children properly. It would be great if the parents knew about other relationships that their partners were having before the children were introduced to new partners. That's something else that Judy has taught us and taught us well. And then we have Molly Wilder. I interviewed Molly a couple months ago. Molly is a coach, but she's not a step-parent coach as Judy Graybill is. Molly is actually an example of doing blended family beyond. Not only did Molly have seven children of her own when she got divorced, Molly's former husband, entered into a marriage with other children, and they literally combined both families and did a Christmas card together. Now, that's pretty spectacular, and had Christmas dinner. This is amazing. So where there's a will, there's a way. And there's nothing better than blending families if that's possible. Not only will that help you get over your own divorce with a blended family, because there's life after divorce. And what value is there in being the best parent you can, in the best blended family you can? You know, this isn't pie in the sky. It's really possible to blend families if all parents are willing. Now, that's really the key. if all parents are willing. You can do your best if you're willing, but if the other parent isn't willing, there's nothing you can do. So you just have a solid front on your end with your new partner. Speak well of former spouses. Invite all children of former spouses into your home, if at all possible, and do the best you can at having the most open arms possible. But if you can blend everybody, if you can form this bigger family around individual families, you can really be a role model going forward to anybody who knows you. And what a gift that is to the world. Number three, reality television and divorce. Well, first of all, I am such a sucker for reality television, and only the shows, the Real Housewife shows, and Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I don't watch Big Brother. I don't watch any of those other things. I really watch everything on Bravo because I'm into relationships and I want to see how relationships work. And I watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians because, first of all, I was amazed at Kris Jenner's ability to build a business. Completely amazed by that. I was also in awe that she resurrected Bruce Jenner's career. And I was beyond amazed at how she turned Kim's sex tape, like Paris Hilton's sex tape, into a business. She met that adversarial time, she met that embarrassing time, and she just confronted it. You know, we all have embarrassing moments in our lives, but we all don't have them broadcast. Well, with social media, a lot of personal experience are now broadcast before anybody considers it. And I've often thought of my most embarrassing moments in life. What if they were broadcast? Well, I have two embarrassing moments. My Yelp reviews, they're pretty embarrassing. And what do you do with those? Because there's truth and then there's a lot of untruth in these embarrassing moments. You have to meet them head on. You simply have to meet them head on. You can't hide them under the carpet anymore because there is no privacy. But you have to have a voice and you have to use them as learning experiences. And so in reality television, I was always saddened by the number of divorces that happened. The Real Housewives of Orange County were first up and they have the highest divorce rate. Theirs is in the 90 percentile. Isn't that amazing? New York City has, I think, a 45 percentile. But then you have New Jersey, lowest percentage. Housewives of D.C., Housewives of Potomac, lowest percentage. But they all have divorces. All these housewife series have divorces on them. And so why is that? Well, if your marriage isn't solid going into these shows, it's going to crack. Because the spotlight on your private life, what you don't expect that's going to be brought forward on television, is everything. You know, I don't know why people go on television thinking their marriages can become a secret. Look at Erica Jane. Look at what happened to her. You know, of course, she looked like one of the wealthiest on television. Her husband, $50, $80 million. I mean, this is huge. And now what does she have? Well, she actually has her own career. Nobody can take that away. It's a great career. Acting, singing, dancing. Great career. But that marriage was a complete sham. I actually was pretty angry about that, to be honest with you. It was an absolute complete sham. From the get-go, she talked about what, the 40-year difference between her and Tom Girardi, one of the most famous personal injury attorneys in the United States, completely belly up. And then you have Yolanda Foster divorcing David Foster. I mean, we're talking about huge money divorces here. Starting out with Kim Richards on the first season of the Beverly Hills Housewives. I mean, It's just amazing to me how people will go on national television and broadcast their marriages as being great, and they're not, and they eventually get divorced. So let's go to us now. So we're not on reality television, but what we present to the public is a front, something that we try and put a good face on. That term lipstick on a pig is kind of interesting, because we try our best, especially if we have children, to present ourselves as a united family, but we're not. So when we get divorced, people are shocked. Depending on how you presented yourself to the public, people are actually shocked at what on earth could have happened to cause this divorce. What are you supposed to do? Well, not air your dirty laundry. That would be horrible, especially if you have children. You don't want your kids to have their personal life broadcast in any way. But when you have things going on in your marriage and you don't confide in anyone, you suck it up, you internalize it, you do the best you can at moving forward, you're sweeping it under the carpet. As soon as there are issues in your marriage, you have to go to a counselor. You have to address it. You have to speak about it. Not confronting it does nobody any good at all. We all have problems. Life is a journey, as is marriage. Wouldn't it be great if counseling was the answer to any issues we have in marriage so that it can stay together? But that's not reality. If we look at life as a learning lesson, marriage is part of life. Marriage is a learning lesson. So if we don't stay married until one or both of us passes, it's okay. We haven't done anything wrong. We've done our best. We have to look at, did we recognize that there were some issues going into the marriage, and did we try and sweep those under the carpet? That's important to look at, because we have red flags a lot of times. Our gut, the way our stomach feels, is our biggest red flag. You know, internally, we know when something's right and we know when something's wrong. We are rarely, completely, utterly shocked. Sometimes we are. But if we really pay attention, if we really look at the signs that make a good marriage versus a not so good marriage, you know, what are the signs? What makes a good marriage? Being respected, feeling like we're respected. Speaking respectfully to one another, respecting one another, actually respecting one another. That's important. Are there any gender issues? Is there male dominance? Is there female dominance? That can happen. Male dominance is more prevalent than female, but it's the way women talk to men too. That's degrading a lot of times. And so there can be disrespect on both sides done in different ways. Are the goals of each person reassessed along the way? I mean, the goals that you set for yourselves, hopefully you do talk and set goals before you get married. They must be reassessed along the way, because we change, the world changes. So let's just look at a decision. That's fairly typical. Both people are married. And this doesn't matter, gay, straight, heterosexual, it doesn't matter what kind of marriage you have. Both people, let's just say they're working when they meet. And let's say they want to have children. And one person earns quite enough to support the family and asks the other person to be a stay-at-home parent. Okay, how does that change the marriage? It really does change the marriage. When you go from two working people who have a certain dialogue at the end of the day, generally about what they did during the day. And what they did during the day is interesting to them and hopefully interesting to each other. But once one person becomes a stay-at-home parent, that whole dynamic changes. Because then the working parent is not listening to a similar conversation with the stay-at-home, the now stay-at-home parent, going from what they did professionally all day, which is understandable to another working parent. You are on the same level. You're sharing the same kind of issues, work issues. And so that's very relatable. But when one parent becomes a stay-at-home parent, that's what their conversation is about. And the working parent can't really relate because their experience is about work during the day. That causes a breach in the communication. And maybe the working parent finds it hard to listen to the parent who's a stay-at-home mom or dad. And the stay-at-home mom or dad needs empathy, needs support, needs to be understood that this could be an even more difficult role than working. And if anybody has never experienced the stay-at-home role, it is incredibly difficult. It is far more difficult than going to work. It is not only underappreciated, but it is never ending. Because the stay-at-home parent is expected to be responsible 24 hours a day. Honey, I work. I can't get up and deal with the kids in the middle of the night. What are you talking about? This is your role. This is what you're supposed to do. I'm supposed to go out and work and I need my sleep. That is what some of the dialogue is like. And so strap in for that change in the relationship. When there's a change in both parents working to one parent working, one parent staying at home. But when you have cracks in your marriage and you present yourself as a national figure in any way, let's just say you're not on reality television. Let's just say you are doing something that gets you fame somehow, some way. And there are cracks in the relationship. Those cracks are going to get bigger. Because when fame comes in, it's uncontrollable what happens. And fame, just for any individual, is tough to deal with. Nobody's ready for fame. Not one person, unless you have famous parents, unless you are the child of an actor or an actress, or some other type of celebrity, you have no clue. You have no clue what it's like to have cameras and media talking about you. It's one of the most difficult things to deal with. Your life isn't your own. You have no privacy. Everybody's criticizing you. Everybody has an opinion. Yet nobody's living your life. Nobody is there behind closed doors. Just like in real life, nobody is there behind closed doors. Nobody knows what you're going through. So you always have to have an outlet, a professional outlet preferably, to talk about those parts of your marriage that are starting to become challenging and that could potentially destroy the marriage. And if there are issues in your marriage that are making it actually more identifiable to both of you, that you need to transition out of the marriage, do not blame each other and don't blame yourself. It's a learning lesson. And you hopefully went into it with the best of intentions. Now let's see what we can get out of it. Divorce is a new beginning. I have said this repeatedly on so many of my episodes. That's the last sentence in any of my confirmation emails before people come in for an appointment. I write the confirmation email, and I truly believe it. Divorce is a new beginning. If we use it as that, if we use it as a learning lesson and not to blame, divorce is a new beginning. So there's a lot of new beginnings on these reality shows. And sometimes people have to get divorced a few times before a marriage sticks, or before they know they might not be the marrying kind. Not everybody's set to get married. Lastly, number four, because this topic is such a big part of life now. Gender transformation as the issue for a relationship ending. Okay. So historically, we have gone from the only kind of relationship is a heterosexual relationship because that's what God wanted to. No, love is love. It doesn't matter what the gender is. Love is love. So after many, 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 many years of not being accepted, finally, and it was a rocky start, to endorse gay marriages, to make gay marriages legal. So that's two men marrying, two women marrying. Took a long time to get there, but finally we got there. And it was in the Obama administration that the Gay Marriage Act became a reality. Okay, great. Now we have gay marriage. Then we have exposure on transgender, the issue of becoming a different gender altogether. And that was a huge learning experience for everybody. That was probably more difficult to understand than homosexuality, but it's all difficult and it's all part of life. You can't deny it. You can't extinguish it. It is part of life. And so we must understand it so that we can deal with it, because it may potentially come into all of our lives somehow, some way. Maybe in our immediate lives, maybe in our extended lives, friends, family. So now we're into transgender and beyond that, which I'm not going to focus on in this episode, but these pronouns. Now people want to be non-binary. They don't want to be a gender at all, which in and of itself is a completely different conversation, which I won't go in this discussion. But gender is under discussion big time in this country. All right, so let's look at gender transformation and the responsibilities and issues around this for the married couple, but also for the children and the extended family. It's just not for the couple, it's for the children and the extended family. So, interestingly, when transgender people are ready to become vulnerable and want to be authentic and discuss the change they want to make in the gender they are now to the gender they want to become if they are already married. I have never listened to anybody, any transgender person say, I feel a responsibility to my family. While I am doing this most important thing for myself, I do realize that my family is going to be experiencing a transformation. I have never, ever heard this spoken. And for me, this is so very important. Because our decisions, if we are married, affect everybody in our family. And this is not to say that you shouldn't do what you need to do. Do what you need to do. If this is what you need to do, do it. But please don't deny that there are other people that you are affecting, and please be responsible for that. Be responsible for going to the other members of your family and talking about it. And it's not even an issue of apologizing. That's not where I'm going with this. It's an issue of just saying, how is this affecting you? Simply asking the question. How is this affecting you? Let's talk about your reaction to this and how you're going to be dealing with this. That's the step I think all transgender people need to make. And I haven't seen this at all with Caitlyn Jenner. Certainly not in her book, The Secrets of My Life. But in interviews, Chris calls her marriage to Caitlyn a blessing. So Chris was doing an interview, I think, with the Daily Mail when she called her divorce, her marriage to Chris, to Bruce, a blessing. And I thought that was so wonderful. I admired her for doing that. And so in previous episodes, I have talked about the grief stages of divorce. So there's five grief stages. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, years ago, wrote about the five grief stages of death. But in divorce, there are two more grief stages. And the two additional grief stages are apology and forgiveness. Now, why are there two more grief stages called apology and forgiveness in divorce? It's because the other person is still living. It's just that. And because they're still living, you have to come to terms with the divorce and how you're going to be dealing with your former spouse, especially if you have children. And that entails more work than just grieving over a loved one who has passed away. You must forgive the other person in order to release yourself from the agony and the sadness and the anger of getting divorced, if that's what you're experiencing. And if you have any part in the divorce, which both people generally do, you have to apologize. That's really important because the apology will set you free as well as the forgiveness. And then we go to 2019. When Caitlyn gave an interview with the Daily Mail, so everybody's giving interviews with the Daily Mail, and spoke of her two previous marriages. She said that each wife, and their, Bruce said, Caitlyn said that when he, as Bruce, went to his two former spouses and started talking about and engaging in gender reassignment, and it was on his face, marriage is ended. Caitlyn maintained that Chris knew about his gender dysphoria and saw him dress as a woman while they were married. And this is important because in next week's episode, Leslie Fabian also knew about her husband, David, now Deborah's, cross-dressing when she decided to get married. So Caitlyn is maintaining that in her two marriages, she started the gender reassignment. She was open with her two former spouses about her consideration to be transgender, and that ended the marriage. Okay, that's fine. I mean, most people can't sustain a marriage. They want to be married to either the opposite sex, or if they're gay, the same sex. But if you're in a heterosexual marriage, as Bruce was, you know, and your former wives want to be with men, of course, that's going to end naturally, but maybe not with next week's episode. I'm teasing it because I think this is going to be the starting point for next week's episode. Very interesting decisions that Leslie and Deborah made. But with Caitlyn, she also asserts that Chris knew about her gender relationship, and Chris married her anyway. Well, okay, so lots of people, I think, knew that there was some type of proclivity to expressing their spouses expressing themselves as the opposite gender. Sometimes that's fascinating to people. You know, there's that little edge of difference that some people say, okay, I can live with that. In Caitlyn's book, she described the marriage and why it ended. Quote, "We built an amazing family, but circumstances and people change. And I think the hardest thing is to be able to make those changes together and still be as strong. In a separate quote, Caitlin said, our relationship didn't work anymore, and we mutually decided that it was time to split up. There was no animosity. The animosity came when the blame came in the book, The Secrets of My Life. Well, it did kind of sound copacetic initially when Bruce and Chris divorced and before Bruce became Caitlin, and then it became very contentious. The interviews, the way they, the storyline, eventuated in keeping up with the Kardashians, because that show was still going on. And so the divorce was unfolding in keeping up with the Kardashians. It was when the book came out, when was it, in 2019, when the book, The Secrets of My Life, came out, that, or 2015, whatever, you know, that's when issues started. And so for Caitlin and for anybody describing their divorce in a book, you cannot blame. Why do you want to blame the other person? What's the value in blaming? You have children, for heaven's sakes, together. What's the value in blaming the other person? Because the people who are going to be hurt the most are the children. And so we come back to the co-parenting. We come back to how you move forward in a family where you have children and you're famous or you're well known in the community. The children have friends at school. Everybody's going to talk. The best way is to say nothing. What's the point? The show that Caitlin did was great, I thought, at really discussing the whole concept of transgender, the journey in the process of turning man to woman, woman to man. I mean, that's a fascinating journey. I know that a lot of people, unfortunately, are repulsed by it, but it's so much a part of the fabric of society now, as more people are being accepted as exactly who they are. You have to be able to talk about it. I know it's against certain people's religions. I know it's against certain people's cultures, but it's life. And we have to deal with it. But to expose it in a book, to be condescending, to blame in a book, I don't know how that enhanced Caitlyn Jenner. I don't know how that was productive for Caitlyn Jenner. It certainly didn't look like it was productive to Chris. I really admired Chris for how she handled things. And I admire Caitlyn that in front of everybody, this Olympic champion went through probably a bigger issue than being an Olympic champion. That was being an Olympic human being. And so hats off for Caitlin to doing that. None of this is easy. So if any of these issues are affecting you in your divorce, get your respect together, shore up what your part of the, your part in the transformation of the marriage to a divorce is, and just understand that we're all human beings. We all have our challenges. Life isn't perfect, but if we can eventually get to the point of mutual respect, if we can eventually get to the point where we all have to live our lives the way we feel is the best, certainly in a healthy way, hopefully, it's the best we can do in life. So these were the 4 points that came out of the Bruce Jenner, now Caitlyn Jenner, Kris Jenner, now Kris Kardashian, again, marriage. And those 4 points, just to recap, are marrying under a year from a divorce is very tricky. Blended families really have to be dealt with in a sensitive way. Gender transformation is more prevalent than we think. at least being gay, expressing gay, if not gender transformation, happens quite a lot. And lastly, once you go into a public forum and going on TikTok and any of the social media, any of these social media platforms, that exposes you too. Becoming wealthy exposes you and your marriage to tests. These 4 points can easily become part of any of our marriages. And so I thought it was important to deal with them in this particular celebrity divorce. Thank you again for joining me in all of these podcast episodes. I appreciate each and every one of you. Please don't forget to tune in next week to Leslie Fabian, where you're going to hear a whole different way of dealing with gender transformation in a marriage. You can reach me and please comment on this. I welcome all comments. You can email me at judith@theamicabledivorceexpert.com, judith@theamicabledivorceexpert.com. Please share this with your friends, subscribe, and as always, have an amicable day.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us. Be good to yourselves, be kind to your spouse, and cherish your children above all else.